arsenal to murder Jesus Christ's descendants, the Jews. This morning we had a man who came to this very door, a young minister, 35 years of age. He had the audacity, if we weren't a gentle people by nature, he would have been beaten to the inch of his life. He was right here, some of you saw him as you were coming in. He said, the blacks will no doubt be destroyed because of the curse of Ham. He said, blacks have what is happening to them all because it's God's will. He said, God ordered the slaying of certain children in the Bible, and they were black, they were dark. He ordered the destruction of them. You know that crazy parable that's in the Bible that was written by the slave master, King James, that first set the slip, the first sent the ship, good Jesus, the ship Jesus, the good ship Jesus that brought the first blacks back here in chains. And everyone that knows history knows that. King James is responsible for the first slave ship that was ever sent to bring blacks. And he also put a plenty of Indians, Mexicans, and whites in chains as well. He was a slave master. He was a drunk. He was an oppressive king. He was a practicing deviant, a sexual deviant of the worst nature. He bothered little children. He brought them into the court at will and made prisoners of them. King James that wrote your Bible, along with 80 other drunks just like him. You say, well, why do we have a church? I said last night we have church because that man was raised. On the moment that I said raised last evening, he raised up free. The woman that had been paralyzed and bleeding in her mouth and had the stroke brought in here, half dead. She'd been in agony since Saturday. The moment I spoke the word, she was resurrected and she came back. She could not speak. And then we had another sister over here that had fallen out, could not speak. The moment I came, very quietly walked to her, she was healed. We have a church because I act like a church 24 hours a day. I guess if people can have a church to Satan, they got a Satanist church over here where people get nude and lay on the altar. And they've got Muslim churches and they've got Buddhist churches. And as I said, the atheists now have a church of Poor Richard. Well, if they can have a church, we're going to have a church until all those other people stop having their churches. We will continue to be a church. So what do you base your faith on? Faith in Jim Jones. Faith in the people that are around Jim Jones. Faith in the people that walk with Jim Jones. People got faith in something they've never seen up in the sky. I guess we've got to have a right, a certainty. We have a right to have faith in something we can see. Because everybody that's been looking at me have not died. Everyone that's paid their commitment has never gone by the way of the grave. We've not had one death since 1959 of one that has kept the key teachings. And in the Mother Church, not one. We've not lost one on the accidents of the usual list that people have. We drive our buses all over this nation, thousands and thousands of miles up and down this coast every week. People come from Los Angeles here every week. We send those buses down there 3 and 4 times a week. We've never had one even get a bump on their head. Now, if somebody can do that kind of work, we're going to believe in something we see. Because what we see is what we're going to get. That insane man stood right in the midst of our black brothers and talking to Brother Lee Ingram, fine educated black man, one of our board members. Stood there and talked to him about blacks going to be murdered because it was God's will. I wanted to slap but I didn't, because Lee was being so gentle. I wanted to come up and give him a whop the side of the head. I thought, you got a lot of brazen nerve to come in here with all these black brothers and sisters. Didn't it happen right down here today? Right down here today. And he was standing there talking in the Bible. He said, the Jews got what they had coming to them because the Bible. They all got murdered, and they all should be murdered because they are the ones that killed Jesus. I'm telling you, the worst thing that ever happened in this country, and Hitler used the churches to get what he wanted to get done. And America, if you listen to KFAX morning, noon, and night, you'll hear them talking about, we got to do something about these people. We got to get law and order. What they want is law and order for the poor. They said, these black people that are rioting, there's so much disturbance. We've got to do something about this. This is not God's will. We've got to elect people that will keep law and order. Hitler was the first one that said that. And always the one that wanted to champion dictatorship. Even this running lackey of white men, Dr. Jackson, that heads the Black Baptist Convention. He said, if blacks dissent, if blacks want more rights, he said, put them in concentration camps. what Dr. Jackson said. We got not only white fools, we got black fools. I have this repeated today. We seldom ever repeat a sermon of the night before, but I saw that about 50 people here had not had the occasion to hear it, and I thought you might as well know where I'm at. I am an enemy of organized religion. I will not stop until I see organized religion destroyed. Every place you've seen organized religion, you see a dictatorship. Brazil had the organized influence of the Catholic Church that told them to look up in the sky. Now they've got a dictatorship that's murdering off people, cutting women's breasts. Greece, a strong Orthodox church. Greece now has been taken over by the fascist generals, colonels. Italy, one of the worst places, one of the worst church-ridden places. The highest incident of fascist violence that you're going to find outside of an outright dictatorship. Every place you find the church, you find ignorance, poverty, racism, trouble. You find difficulties of every sort. Every place the church is strong, you've got a dumb people. Well, I don't know why you're here still. I said, you stay around. As you were around last evening, you saw cripples healed. You saw them instantly spit up cancers. You saw a woman that was slated to die with one healed. We've seen, I think, over 7 came out of wheelchairs in this past week, right before the movie studios. Even Samuel Golden Mayer said, we run around all these churches trying to find a healing. Said, we ran around trying to find a healing. Couldn't get anybody. Miss Kuhlman wouldn't let us come in. Because she said she didn't know whether she could do her healing with us present. So we stood outside with our cameras and asked all those that came out of Catherine Kuhlman's if they'd been healed. Said, no, we couldn't find one. Said, we talked to hundreds and hundreds and thousands, and we couldn't get one. We went to Roberts, we couldn't find one. We went to every big named healer. Stewart, the successor of Allen, he wouldn't let them in either because he thought it might interfere with faith. I let them in. Samuel Golden Mayer Studios, and we brought 2 out of wheelchairs. One man had a back that had been crooked and broken for years. He was healed instantly. People was healed of every condition. Sister laid down her back brace. They said they were shaken. They said it would look like a Hollywood dramatization. We couldn't believe it unless we'd been there, but we saw the cripples walk. We saw it with our own eyes. They said, you gave us more healings in 5 minutes than we've heard talked about in all the churches all over America. That was last Sunday, just last Sunday. And they called just yesterday to say that they're going to put it on 60 television studios, and one producer saw it and wanted to make a movie. Said that I acted better, and the sincerity and the warmth came across with more intensity and feeling than some of the big-named actors, and they'd like to even make a movie out of it, but it's being released for 60 television stations. It'll be released here in several weeks. 2 in Los Angeles. It's already going to be released in New York. 60 prime cities. Our great healing ministry will be given free because I wasn't afraid to let somebody in and put the photographers on me. I just said, don't put the photographers on my people when they're dancing. Don't make fools of my people. Once a group came in, they wanted to heal. They said they wanted to see my healings. I said, fine. But they got in and they photographed one of my black sisters that was getting shout a blessing. And I said, get out. I kicked her fannies out in about 2 minutes flat. But this group was from Samuel Golden Mayer, and they showed sincerity, they showed interest in brotherhood, integration, and peace, and they were certainly given all that they could see. They said, I cannot doubt. In fact, the matter, they want to all come back. Every one of them wants to come back, bring their relatives. They've got all kinds of sick relatives. They're calling all the way from New York to Germany to bring them to get healed. No, the reason they don't have anything, these churches, they say they believe in Jesus and they're afraid their faith will be interrupted if a camera is present. Let me tell you, they don't have anything if they're afraid of a camera. I'm not afraid of a camera or a cannon. When I get ready to do my work and it's the right time to expose our work, I wouldn't be afraid if they had a machine gun on me. I could still stop the machine gun, raise the dead, and heal 15 people of cancer. I don't know how many we've raised from the dead this week. It's been perfectly beautiful when you see someone bleeding out of their mouth and out of their eyes and their tongue out and stupefied, no heartbeat, can't move, and then just say, "I said live," and the woman gets up in her 80s and danced all around this temple this week, didn't she? Danced all around the beautiful Los Angeles temple, danced, praised, rejoiced, went home, made every whit whole, and she'd been in agony since Saturday, laying on her bed, but she drug herself. She said no doctor could help her. She went to doctors, they couldn't help her. She called for doctors, they wouldn't come. So she drug herself into the church because she said, "I know a God on earth that will lift me up." And Sister Mason got lifted up. And the moment I quickened that man last night, I said, "I know where you've been. You've been between two worlds, between this planet and the next planet that's highly evolved, that religious foolish folk call the next heaven, which is the next planet. It's just much higher evolved than this." I said, I told him what his dreams were. I told him the type of people he saw. I told him the type of cloud formations he saw, didn't I? And I said, "Now, that terrible trouble in your stomach's gone. You feel perfectly well, don't you?" And he danced around here and clapped hands and shook hands with all of you, and you saw that he was made every whit whole. Sure, we've got a right to be a church. You bet you're right. We've got our life on the line to be a church. If everybody else can be a church, we're going to be a church. You bet your life. We take all of our people in when they're lonely. We've got a catfish pond that will feed every one of our 10,000 members from here to Los Angeles to Seattle and all over the United States. Our catfish ponds up there are swarming, just like maggots. You can just see them. Great big fish. We had to transport some of them into other ponds because we got so many of them. People worrying about not eating meat. We're going to eat. You say, why do you have a church? Protection. Because when you get around me, there's an energy. Just like you get around a heater. A heater will put out some heat for you and you'll feel warm. Right now you feel cool because I like cool air, because the cells don't die. If you keep your cells cool, you'll never have cancer. Say, I get a cold. Oh, if you don't think you won't. If you let air come in and get used to the cold, it keeps your body temperature low. And the longer you keep your body temperature low, the longer you'll live, the healthier you'll be. You get cancer when you heat your cells, cook your cells. Some of you get in front of a heater, you have to cook your cells. You wrap up, and so you just actually, many people are made sterile before they're 40 by their own radium. Their own radiation from their body destroys their genes, destroys their sperm. You cook yourselves because you've got to be too hot. Because somebody told you you'll catch a cold. I've never caught a cold in my life because I love the air. Breathe that air. It's good for you. It's all in your head back there, but if you feel it's in your head, we'll wrap you up, because I don't want any of you catching colds. That's the only way you can catch them, too, is because somebody gives them to you. Somebody suggests you get a cold. When I was a child, mother said, don't you let any air in. You're going to get a cold. Every time the wind would open up, I just loved to feel the ice come in. Every time it came in, she'd go and get a cold, going to get a cold. And finally, she talked me into one. My dad smoked that old Bull Durham, and I couldn't hardly stand it. One night I said, cold or not, I said, up goes this window, and I throwed that window open and let that breeze come in from, the deep. Now back there in the Midwest, in the deep, in the north, it gets cold. But the wind blew in, and how fresh it felt, and all that Bull Durham went out. We didn't have any commodes in those days. We had one of those carry-you-alls. We didn't have any flush toilets. We didn't have any fancy outhouses. We had an old pot. And my father put that pot under the bed and smoked that Bull Durham. And between that Bull Durham and that pot, that was the ungodliest smell you ever had. I said, I'm not going to die with a... I'd rather get a cold and smell Bull Durham and that crap mixed together. So I just opened the window. And ever since then, I've been opening the window and letting that air breathe in on me. And it'll make your head feel lighter. I take a cold bath. You better not start it quick because you got to condition yourself. But when you feel ever so bad, I get so little sleep because I'm up with your counseling all night or up with a court case. Here this morning with concern about somebody's animals. We're a protection society. So I don't know why I should come here. Well, you ought to have good sense. If you had a light bit of brains, you'd come here. Because we have our counselor down there worrying about people mistreating your animals. If they've got your children in trouble, we get in the jails and swap. We'll fight with them. I've got my desire to get through talking, and so I mix my languages all up. I don't like to talk. Anyway, I do talk because somebody has talked, got some sense, because there are too many fools talking. But I want to talk so fast and get it through with because I use my voice 18 hours a day, and I just don't like to talk. Most people don't do any good talk anyway. They want to be dumb. They've got religion because they want to feel better than somebody else. They want to keep their religion because it makes them think that they're a show-off and they can look down on somebody. People have got hell just because they hate their relatives or they hate their neighbor. They just like to say, you're going to hell, bless God. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven, but you're going to hell. Most people got their religion just like that. That's what their religion's all about. It's a pride. It's a racism in reverse. It's all kinds of prejudice and conceit. And I don't like to talk because they're a bunch of dummies. Down there, some fool woman come through and said the ghost told her, spirit told her this, spirit told her that we weren't supposed to resist. If people went to concentration camps, we had all kinds of nuts down there. I turned them out by the droves today. Nuts. A nutty white woman says, yes, the concentration is going to come. Yes, we're going to do this to the Jews and they're going to do it to the blacks. But it's God's will. I don't care whose will it is. I'm going to knock the shit out of anybody try to take my people. Peace. It's all right. Go home. When you have an accident, you'll need me. You will. 68 Christ will run over your leg and keep you down for about 3 months. I better sit down. That'd be better. You don't want to go yet. You know I know what kind of car you run around in. They don't like my language, honey. Even though Paul said I count all crap, he called it dung. In Hebrew, that's the dirtiest word. That's the dirtiest word for S-H-I-T. He said I count all dung. That I might know the revolution, the anointing, the Christ. The cussing all through the Bible. Solomon talked about awful stuff. They'd arrest Solomon today for pornographic literature. His is worse than, what is it, Green Doll or whatever it is. I didn't go see it. Green Light or some dumb stuff. I don't know. You know they got it. They got all this stuff now about pornographic literature. They're afraid for people. All the things the preacher has been doing in the private with the women, they don't want it now out on the streets in the films. So they're all worried about not having these films out where people can see them. And it's very dangerous when you start censoring things. Better, where are you going? You might need to get healed. You might have cancer in 2 years. You better watch where you're going. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the one behind you. I mean that I would like to keep people's minds, and the only way to keep your mind attended is just tell them that they better, if they walk, don't walk back, because you won't get a chance to walk back. The woman got her finger up. She's all right. If you leave, darling, don't bother to return. I'm tired. People can't take the truth. I mean it when the cancer eats your gut up and eats your breast up. Don't you come near me because I'm not going to help you. Hands clasped. That's the way it goes. That's exactly the way it goes. I mean what I'm saying. I'm saying what I mean. I'm tired of people can't take the truth. I've stood up here and told you nothing but the truth just because you want to hold on to a fairy tale. Said, my grandma believed in it. Yes, and your grandma and your great-grandma, some of hers, she's an Oriental, and the blacks, their grandparents believed in it. Your grandparents believed you should be a coolie. Chinese were treated like dogs. They were public property. Just because grandma believed in it. Oh, no, no. Best to get your mind straight. People decide, though, they think about that cancer, they decide they'll go to the toilet and not go out. It's all right. They start home and then they decide they gotta get, we think about that cancer, and then they say, I don't care if he's who he is. If he can get that thing off me, I'll just come back. I know their tricks. I'm up to all the tricks it played on me. They start out the door ready to mad, and then I tell them a few little revelations, and they decide, well, now I'll think about that. I'll just go around the toilet and have a thought. There she was determined to go home. By the time she got the door, she was determined to go home. But when she got outside here and said one more word to sit to Anderson, she decided to go to the toilet. She talked to three people, and she was determined to leave. But, you know, there's nothing like cancer to cause some folk to stop and listen. Well, you say, that's awful to get their attention. And they got a cancer in their brain. If I didn't do anything but stop the cancer in their brain, I'd be doing a service. So if I've got to remind them of the cancer in their body, I better do that to get that cancer out of their brain. This country's filled with dummies. Dummies that'll set back when they come after blacks, Indians, Jews, and Mexicans and say it's God's will. Dummies like that woman, wife of a big scientist here today. Dummies like that white woman. And dummies like that 35-year-old young white preacher. Stood in front of blacks and say, well, they all got what they deserved. The curse of Ham. Dummies. If he hadn't been nothing, if he'd been hurting us, you see, words can't hurt us. Sticks and stones may break our bones, but words won't hurt us. And I'm not going to have no trouble over somebody's words. But if he'd have put a finger on one of those black brothers, they'd have carried him out in parts. The worst murderers get this Bible today. They'll get it and you'll see all kinds of crimes. Seven people killed. The Lord told them to do it. Somebody down here just in the lower peninsula killed his wife, killed all of his children. God told him to do it. He read it in the Bible where Abraham gave up his son. Abraham laid Isaac there and going to murder him. Jephthah gave up his daughter. Jephthah made some kind of a stupid vow. That King James nuts. They ought to lock him up. If I had him, I'd fix him up. King James. Jephthah went out and said, if you will let me win the battle of Ai, let me fight this battle, and if I win this battle, God, he said, I'll make a blood sacrifice. The first one comes through my door. Well, Jephthah was a great prophet. Who came through his door? His daughter. He said, well, I'm sorry. He said, I'm going to kill you. He said, you can go around and bemoan your fate for two months. And he let her go around bewailing her condition for 2 months. And after that, he burned her alive. That was the custom of the day because God told him to do it. That Bible's filled with blood and gore. Lot, dirty old Lot. Lot had a couple of angels. Angels supposed to be able to fly. A couple of messengers dropped in on Lot. And Lot was very honored. A couple of angels dropped in. But a mob got outside. And they wanted to get the angels. That makes no sense. Nothing in that book makes any sense. If they flew in, why didn't they fly out? But the angels flew in, and the mob comes and wants to get the angel, and Lot goes to the door. Lot, good old righteous Lot, he comes to the door and he says, I've got some young virgins, daughters here. My young daughters has never known any man. He said, now if you'll spare the angels... Stupid ass angels ought to have been able to spare themselves. But he said, if you say, why are you talking this plain? Sometimes you got to talk this way. I'll go months without saying any word. But as I said, the Bible's full of it. Solomon talks about nutty stuff. Solomon was such a little ego, he talked about who could piss the farthest over a wall. It's in the book of Solomon. Talking about who could piss it, and it's that word. He pisseth over a wall. I think it's so stupid to figure out who could piss over the wall. That's why I suppose all little boys have been doing it for the last 2,000 years. Every time they get little, they get out and see who can do it the furthest. Remember, honey, when you get lonely, I know you're all nervous and all shook up. I got some sister over there shook up because she feels really upset. Remember, when you get homeless, there'll be nobody to take you in. These churches won't take you in. They'd sweet talk you. They wouldn't say a dirty word. Paul said dirty words, as I said, dung, and you go look it up. And that's the worst word for a bowel movement you can find. Oh, yes, yes, those, you feel all upset with me. But when you get out of a home, there's only one person who's going to take you in. When Sister Younger was losing her home last week, none of those sweet talk preachers did it. She was losing her home, $400, and I knew it by revelation and told her how much, and I put the cash on the barrel head and I saved her home because she's one of my children. When Sister Robinson's rich religious relatives were taking her money and stole her money so she didn't have any food, I got all of her whole month's money for her last week. Sister Atkins' children, when she didn't have enough money to save her children, I got that. Or Sister Mabel Johnson, when her son was being kept as a bond slave in a jail for $100. I got the $100, didn't I? This week, I take care of my people. You may not like my talk, but I take care of my people. Peace. I could name a whole lot of others, but some others are complicated situations. I just don't go into them. Not only do I take care of them in the natural, but as I said, I take care of them in the supernatural. Like they were speaking, mention of this sister here that is Mexican. They made mention of it to you, how I told her exact words to say, and her English is so broken. Her husband been beaten on her because she burned his Bible. He's been cruel to her. Things I wouldn't describe. I wouldn't describe in this room he's done to her. So she took his Bible he'd been beating her with and burned it. And he charged her with burning her house down because she burned his Bible. Going to take her children away from her. Was going to put her in a mental institution. Had it all up. Called here. Good Christian he is. Carries his Bible around. He threatened he was going to do this to the church. And going to kill this. And going to kill that one. Going to hurt this one. Going to hurt that one. I said, okay, honey. I'm going to give you some words. Can you memorize them? We worked with her for an hour. More than that. We worked with her for 3 hours. Over and over. I said, you say these words. He was going there and he had a big time lawyer. And he was going to take her children away from her and put her in a mental institution just this Friday. I said, you follow these words. And I said, I'll cause him to be dumb. When they got in the court, he was sitting there cocky and big. He had his attorney, and the attorney had it all down there that we practice voodoo and that we cause women to lose their mind and burn down houses. The attorney was all there ready to make his name in the papers. The old boy just got up. Her old mean husband, the runt, got up, just walked up and stepped on the stand, sat down. He didn't even know why I was sitting down. He sat down and says, he didn't even talk to his attorney, talked to our attorney, says, I'll give her $200. His attorney got up with his papers shaking. He says, what are you talking about? You can't do that. He said, I'll give her $200. And after he was through and got through, because she did what I did, she believed I was God and she followed my word and she kept it 100%. She didn't worship nothing she couldn't see. She believed I was God and she learned every word. And when she said that word in the court, and came with the right attitude in that court, that caused him to lose his mind, and my mind took over. Peace. The attorney says, you don't have but $350. He said, I don't care, I'll give her $200. Then when it was over with, and some saw him afterwards, he was biting himself. He didn't know why I did it. Well, we know why. Because we got something that protects us. Young woman standing up there on Friday got freed from the court due to bad association. Someone used her and put her under drugs, but she signed checks after checks after checks. I said, go, I'll get you free. You'll be in Redwood Valley. Went to the court. Police found out I'd sent her away. She stole hundreds of dollars. There she is standing up there. They freed her. Sent her home. Didn't do a day. And she stole from some of the biggest supermarkets. Checks. Forged checks. After check. After check. After check. Police come for her. I said, what are you doing? You turn her in? I said, yes, it's all right. They took the name, took it down. They didn't know what to do. They said, we'd never been used to anybody turning themselves in. Said, well, that is a crime. They'd get you anyway because they got your signature. She went down. They took her in and got ready to book her, found out who'd sent her, let her out. I sent her at 3 o'clock in the morning, and she was out at 4 o'clock. Now she's home free. Now she's home free. All taken care of. It's all taken care of. The court has cleared the case. Now you say you don't know why you should belong to this church. Honey, you better begin to ask why you don't belong to this church. Because I'm a scrapper. I don't want to call you God. I don't like the name. I don't care if you call me doggy. I don't care what you call me, honey. Just look to me. Give me your faith. Give me your trust. Don't call me Lord, because that's another thing King James has used on us. Lord means the owner of slaves. Call me pastor. Call me Jim. Call me what you will. But as long as people are calling something in the sky God, I know some people here will probably be calling me God. I said, Jesus said when they took him to the cross, it is written, ye are gods. He said, why do you crucify me for calling myself the Son of God? He said, those that come after me will do greater things than I. That's what he said. He said, I'm only the firstborn of many brethren. These that come after me, these things shall they do and greater, because I have come and gone to the Father. He said, it is written, ye are gods and sons of the Most High. He said, you people believe he does greater things than Jesus. Well, of course, we never saw Jesus. All we got's a black book. Said Jesus walked on water. Were you there? They don't even know who his granddaddy was. They don't know whether he went to Egypt or whether he stayed, as I said in this radio tape. They don't know whether he stayed in Egypt. One writer in the Bible says he never left Jerusalem. Another one said he fled from Herod. You can't get one story straight. You don't know what happened to him, how many miracles he did, how many loaves and fishes. All the stories change. Every time you read a miracle by Mark or Luke or John, it's different. One place it says immediately after he was baptized with the Holy Ghost, he went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights and was tempted of the devil. Another writer said 3 days later he was at Cana of Galilee turning the water into wine, having a good time with a bunch of drunks. It's in the book. Now you read your Bible. Don't look at me like you think I'm crazy. You've been the nut. You've been the nut that's followed that lie all your life. Get tired of nutty stuff. People looking at me like they've fear that I've lost my mind. I can't imagine how people have been so idiotic, completely idiotic. When I've raised everybody from the dead, 212, the 213th one in Los Angeles Temple alone, then three here in the last few hours. Three in the last few hours here, and I don't know how many in this temple. Between here and the embassy and the Benjamin Franklin, one man they brought to us, he wouldn't give his offering. He thought, they said a word about the Bible. He got outside, he made smart aleck remarks, said, I wouldn't give him a dollar. He fell dead. Bowel movement went all down his legs, caked on his legs. But I thought, he's a poor black man, he doesn't know any better. It's hard for people, old dogs, to learn new tricks. And they said, what are you going to do with him? I said, bring him in. They drug him in. You remember, he was stiff as a board. Bowel movement caked on him for 20 minutes after he'd been smart aleck. I laid over him, and there wasn't nothing they could do. The medical people gave him shots. They gave him a shot in the heart. They gave him everything they could do, oxygen. Nothing would move him. And I worked and I worked, and when I got through, 20 minutes later, he was on his feet. You saw that. But that's not why we're here. We're here because in this country, as Time Magazine said, you've got to belong to a group or you'll be walked over in America. All the cases that come to me, someone does this or that or the other to them. They bother you. They'll do something to you in a store. They will be unkind to you at your work. How many times we've saved jobs? I remember back here with Sister Gray. She was healed. It's Aretha Gray. It's wonderful that she was healed. She was incurable. Her heart was completely decomposed. I mean, that isn't the word I want. What is it? When heart, not heart, the heart decomposition. That's what I want. And the heart muscles had wasted away. And she got healed when she couldn't hold a job. Now she has a business and a job. But they wanted to fire her in her job. We had 150 letters, and it came back from the bosses. We're afraid to do anything with Aretha Gray's. So that church gets on your back. The owner was heard to say in Channel 13, the owner of this Hacienda convalescent home, they was going to fire a nurse there. We had 80 letters. He said, you don't fool with those people. One of our sisters happened to overhear it. I won't say who because it'd be, he was talking to the owner of the station. He said, don't fool with those people. So don't mess with those people. You fire one of their people, they'll all be around your house. We've got 600 records here of saving jobs. People are going to push them down or demote them, treating them bad because of the color. And when they got through, they were treating them bad because of their color, and you'd have thought they were the Queen of Sheba when we got through. One woman they was going to put in the laundry room of a hospital and make her sort out the elimination. It was just a degrading thing. A machine could have processed it, but they took her out of the dietetics department. And she was a kitchen aid. When I got through dealing with that hospital, she was the assistant supervisor of the kitchen. Case like this right now. George Lewis. Who knows George Lewis? What about him? Is he a decent sort? No, I'm done about it here. We got George Lewis.
I'm George Lewis.
No, you're not George Lewis, are you?
Yes, I am.
Are you the one that impersonated the police officer?
No.
You're not the one we're looking for. Here we got this kind of case. This is the kind of family we got. All time they bring me these things, and I'll be handling cases. Last night I got two out of jail because somebody, one of our black men, he's just a new member. He hadn't learned all of our ways yet. And some white people provoked him next door, and he got mad and socked an officer. I got him out of jail while we were sitting in here. He was out of jail and home. Marsh, he was home. He was home while we were having our service. Now we got a guy over in Reno, in Washoe County. He impersonated a police officer, said he called a friend of him, his in Dallas, and said he was a police officer of Reno, just as a joke. And his friend, good minister, minister's wife, answered the phone and called the Reno police. See, that's what your preachers do you there. See, this guy didn't know whether he belonged. Now, this is the same guy we sent $35 to, I think, to get him home. Yes, I think so. I asked him why he was in Reno, the secretary says, and he said he was just there messing around, trying to get away from San Francisco. Said he comes all the time to church. Well, he must not be coming all the time if he's over in Reno playing like a cop, talking to a minister's wife. Called police to give him a message. He wants us to send him a telegram to and to give J. Jane Muchman sent him one too. He wants us to tell Jim about this. Jim and yeah, and Jane too. He wants us to send someone up there to talk to a detective for him and get him out. I asked him if he wouldn't just send the money for, if we couldn't send the money for bail. He said yes, but he still wants someone to go up there. He took a bus there and has a bus ticket to get him home. Bail set at $1,500, but he needs $150 to get him out. He hooked the church down there for $35? Let his ass stay in jail. I don't know him. You see here in the background? My associate minister, that's the first one I've ever said, let's say, in jail. But my associate minister of the Los Angeles Temple said he pulled the same kind of a stunt down there and got in trouble and got our money. We're not going to be taken by fools. Now, see, that's how good they know we are, that anybody can call. See, a lot of nerve. He's over there. He calls the minister's wife, and she thinks so little of him that she says she calls Reno police when he's playing a joke, he said. Well, whatever he was, I wouldn't do that to you. I'll never think on one of you. If I knew you'd hung the governor, they wouldn't get it out of me. Said, oh, that's wrong. No, it isn't wrong. There's one ancient thing that slipped through. They've tried to get it out. The tax department, Internal Revenue, tried to get it changed. The whole government's tried to change it. But it's called the right of privilege of a minister. Anything I know about you, there's no court in the land can make me tell what I know about you. You could have murdered 15 people and tell me, and there's no court, tribunal, there is no counsel that can make me tell what I know. Aren't you glad? I feel sorry for this man, but when he's coming, he's pulled three stunts he's pulled. Coming through to Oregon, needed food, and we give him $35. Then he goes down there and pulled a stunt in Los Angeles and gets in trouble and brings our name into it. You go tell that, you call that police department and say, we don't know anything about that kind of behavior. You tell them the mayor was here on Friday night, and if he wants to know what kind of church we are, see, they go name, drop our name and make a dirty name for us. You call them and say, we don't know anything about it. Don't know a thing about him. Nobody here knows anything about him, only that he's cooked us. Because we had to save five homes of good people in the last few weeks. We can't waste money on somebody that's just conning us. If he comes to church all the time, what's he doing over in Reno messing around? That's the first person in all my ministry I've ever refused. And my heart says, he's black and stupid probably, doesn't know what he's doing. But after he's bit us three times, we got to pull the line someplace or they'll drain me to death. I may change my mind and put a word in for him and try to get some little something done for him before I get through. But I'm not going to bring him back in here. You can bet on that. Because I've never once turned anybody away. That's my nature. But it just aggravates me that he did that in Los Angeles. And I get tired of people that take advantage of us. I really do get tired of it. I won't put any of your money in it, I guarantee that, because I know that the majority feel that way. The majority probably, without doubt, the majority of you feel that I should not put up that bail money, don't you? I was talking to one of our sisters down here in the credit union. I won't mention her name. There's only one church I ever had any faith in, a little bit of faith. It was Third Baptist. And she told me how she worked there many years ago in some capacity. And it was a shocking sort of thing that just jolted me, my thought. I'm just not used to people. Said I was saying, well, somebody came over here, a deacon from Jones Memorial last night. They came over to me. And they wanted me to help them get out of trouble. And I said, they've never been here. I wonder why people do that. She said, well, they probably expect to pay you. Because she said, I was working with pastors. She said they always charged. If they helped anybody get out of trouble, the pastor charged on top of their anniversaries and their salaries, they charged the people. Can you imagine that? I said, can you imagine that? What have we got? What hope have we got when we got crooks like this in the churches charging for help to get somebody out of jail? Won't go down and get them out of jail. Because this person was in a position to know. This person was in an official capacity to know. As I said, that lost, I didn't have any faith in the rest of them, because I sure know the liar that's over here on Sutter Street. That man's the dirtiest liar that ever walked on earth. Not only is he a reprobate that took two of my young girls and tried to get them in the bedroom, but he's a liar, mean liar, and he heads the Baptist Alliance. No wonder they're after me, because I tell on their lies. I can't stand liars anywhere, but it's bad enough to have liars to then get up in the name of Jesus and be liars. You never told me the truth once. I've never talked to George when he told me the truth once. George doesn't know how to tell the truth. I mean, I feel sorry for him. Bedford does not know how to tell the truth. And he's the head of a Baptist Alliance, and he can't tell the truth. It's impossible. Garrison can tell you. He can lie to you just straight face and just lie, lie, lie. You say they believe in Jesus. He told me he didn't believe in the Bible. Let him sue me if it's not true. He's not about to sue me. I've been telling 3 years on him. He don't want to face these two girls up here. He's not about to get me in no court. The other day, someone said over there at his church, Bedford Church, says he's going to sue you. I said, I'll bet you $1 million he doesn't. You don't want to sue anybody when they got something on you. Best thing you do, keep your mouth shut and go on with what you're doing. Disgust me. You can say it? Sure.
I would like to say that, pardon me, I would like to say, as far as this person you just spoke of, that he's one of the biggest homemongers, and I can prove it and solve the act in San Luis Obispo, and in case you need to go a witness, I'll be glad to be one.
My heart aches, because that's why I say we've got to stay. And sure, she can prove it. I can prove it. It's a terrible, terrible condition. And that's why you've got to stay together. As the mayor stood here, the Mayor Johnson, Deputy Mayor Johnson said Friday, he said, you people are the only hope for blacks. He said, when you run your buses to leave this country when the bomb comes, when they really take over, he said, save me a place. I suppose he's one of the most prominent politicians in the town. But he said, this is the only group that'll fight for its own. And we'll fight for people. We got one man on KGO who was fired, and we fought for him. He never even come back to say thank you. We got his job back. They fired him on KGO, black man. We got his job back. He never even came back to say thank you. They do it all the time, but that's not the question. So don't ask why you need the church. We wouldn't be here just for religion. But there is a fact, as I said, when you're close to me, there's an energy that flows from me. I've learned an energy that is amazing. The things that die, plants will begin to grow. People that are sick, they get healed just being in my contact. So that's why we have an assembly. Then, of course, we discuss business and plans, because we've got a plan for every emergency. We got land to get out of here. Not going to happen to us what happened to the Jews. We've got a place to get out of here. You don't have to think, oh, it won't ever happen.